Welcome to the Nations Church podcast. We hope this message blesses you.
Praise the Lord. Who loves June? That's unanimous. It's actually quite an exciting time in the life of our church annually as we set our eyes towards conference. The lead up to conference and that whole time surrounding it, we just want to clear the calendar. We want to clear the run sheet. We very intentionally ramp up the fact that we're making room for God to move. It's very simple. I think our rationale behind the whole thing, it's very simple. We need God. We just need the Lord. The church needs the Lord. His sons and daughters need him. Amen. One of the cultures of this house is we are about encountering Jesus. We love God's presence. We value the work of the Holy Spirit, and we desire genuine encounters with Jesus. Amen and amen. We're unapologetic about that fact in this house. And the reason why is because we just know we need him in our own lives to function and in our families and in our marriages and in our households and in our workplaces, and so that we can fulfill the call. Amen. We need him. We need him. We need him to be the church and build the church. That scripture that says, unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain, those who build it. As far as I'm concerned, that's the most terrifying scripture in the whole of the Bible. Can you imagine all of this being in vain? You know, we need him. We need him. And so in this next season, we make room. And to speak into that kind of idea today, I want to take you to the Old Testament tabernacle, which is maybe random. Hopefully it'll come together. But if you're not familiar with the tabernacle of the Old Testament, it was this, best way to describe it, an elaborate tent. The wilderness wandering Israelites, they took this tabernacle, this tent, wherever they went. They bumped it in and they bumped it out. We think our setup and pack down is hard. You have no idea. This tabernacle operation was a whole deal. It was a massive thing. And the design for the tabernacle, it came directly from God to Moses in this epic heavenly download on the top of Mount Sinai. You can read all about that in the book of Exodus. And the Lord was so precise and detailed in the tabernacle instructions. It needs to be made of these materials. It needs to be this size. It needs to be this manner, this way, and so on and so forth. And the whole purpose of the tabernacle, the whole reason they went to all the bother, was to make a place on earth for God himself to dwell. The purpose was to house God's presence. That's the whole point of the tabernacle. See, our God, you got to know, he is an unchanging God. And God has always desired to dwell with his people. Always. Even before Jesus, even before the problem of sin was dealt with at Christ's cross, God's desire was still towards us. It was still to dwell amongst his children, his people. So he goes to great lengths to establish this place of presence. This place of worship, this tabernacle where people could meet with God. And the Israelites would see this tabernacle within their camp, and it would remind them, God is among us. God is with us. God is for us, not against us. He's with us. When we move, he moves. When we camp, he camps. When we face our enemies, he faces our enemies. This is the heart of God. He is with us. He's for us. That was the tabernacle. Such a beautiful representation of God's heart to be with his people. Now, fast forward with me to a new covenant context. Praise God, Jesus has come. Amen. The book of Romans chapter 8 tells us that the law of the Spirit of life in Christ has set us free from the law of sin and death. Amen. The veil has been torn. Hallelujah. So that what once separated us from the presence of God now separates us no more. Praise God. He sent the Spirit of his Son directly into our hearts. If you're here today and you love the Lord, you got to know your heart is His home. You don't have to go to the temple. You are the temple. You are the temple of the Holy Spirit. And knowing this truth, then you might think to yourself, well, the tabernacle is not really relevant for me. The tabernacle is now somewhat redundant, but I want to say it's actually not the case. It is steeped in symbolism. It's prophesying, it's speaking to us and teaching us about heavenly things. See, the Bible actually conveys to us that the tabernacle was an earthly replica. It was just a shadow of truth and reality that already exists in heaven. Hebrews chapter 8, verse 5, it says, They being the Old Testament priests, they serve at a sanctuary that's just a copy and a shadow of what is in heaven. So this intricate design that God downloaded to Moses and Mount Sinai was not just because God was feeling especially creative that day. No, that's not the way it was. The tabernacle was patterned after a heavenly pattern. It was given after a heavenly reality. And as such, when we study it, we uncover how much it is speaking to us of kingdom realities, of the work of Christ, and how we ought to live our lives for the Lord. And it's very fascinating, but for the purposes of today, I want to bring your attention to one item within the tabernacle, and that's the lampstand. Everyone say lampstand. The lampstand. See, within the tabernacle, there was all these pieces of furniture. And again, all these pieces, these furnishings were made according to divine pattern. And one of those furnishings was actually the lampstand. And in its most crude form, the lampstand was a light source. It's there to give light. Who knows? The tabernacle's a dark place. You got the middle of the wilderness. You got four layers of coverings of all different types. It was pitch black. And they just needed a source of light so that the priests didn't trip over their robes. You know what I'm saying? Don't trip over the altar, dude. Spill the blood where it's not supposed to go. That's awkward. Don't do that. So much more than the lampstand just being this crude form of light. It's speaking to us prophetically. It's speaking to us symbolically of so many things. But one of those things, it speaks to us about Jesus, and it speaks to us about the church. Who is the church? You, me. Where the church is speaking to us about us. See, the lampstand, track with me, lampstand in the tabernacle brings physical light into a physically dark place. But it's prophesying of Jesus Christ, the true light of the world, who would bring spiritual light into a spiritually dark place. And to His church, to you and me, He conveys the very same ministry of lighting up darkness. We get that ministry from Jesus. Jesus said about Himself, He said, I am the light of the world. But He says to us, you are the light of the world. You are a city on a hill. You cannot be hidden. Your job is to be a light on a lampstand and shine me, convey the light of Christ into this spiritually dark place. You are the light of the world. Your purpose is to be on mission in dark places, burning brightly for the Lord. I've called this message burning brightly. Everybody say burning brightly. Burning brightly, because individually and corporately, we are supposed to be light bearers. We're supposed to be kingdom bringers, shining Jesus wherever we go. But it actually does beg the question, how are we doing with that? How bright are we in the dark spaces around us? To use a Pentecostal phrase, how on fire are we? Are you on fire? We need to bring that phrase back. On fire. On fire for the Lord. Are we consumed with the purposes of the Lord? Or perhaps are we consumed with something else? Because in real life, I think it's actually a challenge to stay burning brightly for the Lord. It's a challenge to stay on fire, to walk in purpose, to shine Jesus wherever we go. It's amazing in theory. In theory, we're like, yes, verily, and amen, on fire. But reality, you know, so often we're just trying to get through our days. So often we're just trying to survive, you know, make ends meet. We're just perhaps a bit more consumed with our own purpose and mission than with the purpose and mission of the Lord. And if we're honest, the light of Christ in us can very quickly go dim. That flame of love for God, that flame of love for His people can very quickly be extinguished by real life, like real issues, real problems, real distractions and obstacles, unless there's an intentionality in us. We don't typically burn that brightly unless we're intentional to keep it aflame, keep it alight. The flame within us is actually at risk of burning out. And as we're together today, I want to learn the lessons of the lampstand. We want to allow it to speak to us about the importance of fresh encounters with the Lord and speak to us the lessons of what it takes to maintain our fire, what it takes to stay burning brightly, because we're making room in this season, and this is especially what I felt like the Lord told me He wants to do in us. Starting today, but across the next few weeks and into conference, I believe He comes to realign our hearts to His heart. He wants to reawaken people to their true mission and purpose. I feel Him coming to reawaken a hunger for His glory and His presence above anything else. He wants to cause maybe holy things that have gone dim and dull within your life to cause them to burn brightly again. Amen? I don't know about you, but I don't want to be part of a lukewarm church. I don't want to be a lukewarm individual. Chrissy Lee is called to burn brightly for the Lord. I want the flame of the love that I have for God and for His people to burn hot within me. And I want to be a part of a church like that. So let's learn the lessons of the lampstand. The first thing was it needed attention daily. This is a high maintenance lampstand, people. Say every day. Every day. To tend to the lampstand was part of the priest's daily duty. The fire of the lampstand within the tabernacle, it was not set and forget. It was not this one and done, you know, get that thing burning and walk away, do your other things. No, if the priest didn't tend to it daily, the flame would go out. And isn't that a picture of our lives with the Lord? Now, I had an encounter back with the Lord in 2006 and it still sustains me today. Said no one ever. It doesn't work like that. It's actually an everyday thing. And I believe in this season, He's calling sons and daughters back to daily devotion. Like carrying, where are the Christians that carry the deep conviction, I need to meet with the Lord daily. I need to make an appointment with the Lord and keep it daily. My heart loves Him and I need to be in His presence every day. He's calling us back. He's calling us back. Jesus told us to pray. When you pray, pray like this. Give us this day our daily bread. He didn't say, give us on Sunday a spiritual top up. He didn't say, give us our weekly bread or our monthly bread. He said, give us our daily bread. We actually understand this. It's not very hard. Physically, we eat every day of the year. Do we not? We never say, I don't need dinner tonight. I had dinner last Sunday. Maybe you do, but you're in a category all of your own. We don't. It's not a thing. We eat every day. We understand the need for daily nourishment physically. Why do we struggle to understand the need for daily nourishment spiritually? How often are we clinging to an encounter from yesterday or a revelation from a previous season and expecting it to keep us fueled today and keep us nourished today in the same way that it did before? It's not the way it works. Yesterday's manna was not designed to sustain you today. Yesterday's fire needs a fresh log on it today. You know, the flame that burned yesterday can and will begin to go dim if we don't tend to it. Tend to it daily. He's calling us back to a daily devotion. That's the first lesson of the lampstand, that we tend to it daily. But also, the next thing the priest would do was keep the lamp filled with oil. Everyone say, be filled. Be be filled. In order for that thing to burn brightly, it needed fuel in the form of oil. This was an oil lamp. It's not an electric lamp. They didn't plug into the mains power in the wilderness, you know what I mean? They didn't have any three-phase. It was oil. And every day the oil would be, was that the right word? Three-phase? Two-phase? Three-phase? Big stuff? I'm doing great, great. Praise the Lord. The point is, it's an oil lamp. That's the point. That's the point, people. But every day that oil would be consumed. And every day the priests would come in their priestly ministration. And they would top up that lampstand with fresh oil. They would replenish it so that the fire would remain burning brightly, that it would stay burning brightly. And the only way that fire is sustained because of the oil. You got no oil, you got no fire. No oil means no fire. Oil in Scripture is universally understood to represent the Holy Spirit. If you and I want to burn brightly for the Lord, we need to be perpetually filled with the oil of God's Holy Spirit. Amen? Just like the lampstand, it's the oil of His Spirit that's going to sustain our fire. Sustain our capacity to burn brightly. Burning brightly is not an act of our will. It's not an act of our striving. It's not about going to a conference session and getting stirred up by someone else's fire, although that can help. But burning brightly ultimately is a result of being filled with His oil, the oil of the presence of the Holy Spirit. And we see this in the book of Acts. We know from Acts chapter 1, Jesus in His resurrected state, He speaks to His disciples and He says, wait. Don't do anything. Don't attempt anything. Don't go anywhere. Wait for the infilling of the Holy Spirit. So they obediently waited, and we know what happened. Acts chapter 2, the day of Pentecost, and the tongues of fire separated on all of their heads, the sound like the mighty rushing wind, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. But this wait and be filled scenario, it wasn't just a one-off for them. Wait and be filled became a pattern of the apostles' life. If you read the whole book of Acts, you quickly realize they weren't just filled once, they were filled over and over and over again. They were filled for mundane things as much as they were filled for miraculous things. They were filled when they were joyful. They were filled when they were afraid. They filled when it was going well. They were filled when it was going badly. Stephen, the scripture says, even was filled to be a martyr, the first martyr. You know, they were filled. They were filled. They weren't superhuman individuals. They were just filled individuals. The mighty and miraculous things that they did, the courage that they had, it wasn't in and of themselves, but it was because they lived filled. Wait and be filled was the pattern of their lives. I want to put it to you that wait and be filled should be the pattern of our lives. Ephesians chapter 5. In verse 18, this is a Passion's translation because it unpacks the Greek grammar for us really well. It says, don't get drunk with wine, good idea, which is to not do that, which is rebellion. Instead, be filled continually with the Holy Spirit. Everyone say filled continually. Filled continually. Paul is speaking to us about repeated encounters. Not just one off, but over and over again. Wait and be filled. Wait and be filled. Wait and be filled. Wait and be filled. But therein lies a problem because we're not that good at waiting, are we? I mean, really, we're not that good at waiting. I was so glad that it was the disciples in the upper room and not me. I may have missed the day of Pentecost because I'm horrible at waiting. You know, I can just imagine us, if we got sent to the upper room, we'd all be sneaking our iPhones in and checking Instagram and the footy scores, you know, while we're waiting on the Lord. You know what I mean? You know, I struggle to wait 2 minutes for my spaghetti to reheat in the microwave. I may have missed the day of Pentecost. I don't know about you people, but I may have. We're not that good at waiting, but I want to put it out to you. If we want to burn brightly and if we want our lives to manifest the power and the presence of God's own Spirit, then we must reclaim the habit of waiting and being filled. A wait and be filled habit is what's going to override your tendency towards doing it in your own strength. A wait and be filled habit is going to override the rush in you, the hurry in you, the goals in you, the tasks in you, the asana in you, the whatever reminders in you. You know, you just need to stop it and wait and be filled. Wait in the presence of the Lord. Receive fresh oil. Prophet Zechariah said, it's not by might, it's not by power, but it is by the Spirit of the Lord. Nothing is accomplished for God without the Spirit of God. You understand? We know this, and yet we still struggle to wait and be filled, living reliant, like really deeply reliant on the power, the presence, the outpouring of God. I think in our day and age, waiting is countercultural. It's actually counterintuitive. I remember having a deep personal encounter with the Lord where he came to deal with me on this whole notion of just waiting on him, just being able to receive from him. And I'd been reading that text, the story of Jesus at Martha and Mary's home, and we'd probably all know the story where Martha is so busy and she's doing all the things and she's working for the Lord. But Mary chooses something different. She comes and sits at the feet of the Lord, and she just would receive something from him in that place. And Martha was the one that complained. She said, hey, Jesus, don't you care that she's not helping me? Can you get her to get up and come and help me? And Jesus actually doesn't appease Martha and what her complaint. He actually says, no, Mary's chosen the better thing. She's chosen what is needful. She's chosen the better thing, and it won't be taken away from her, this choice she's made to just wait. And I remember in this moment of encounter myself with the Lord, I felt this question hit my heart from God's Spirit. He said, Chrissy, if you were in the house that day, where would you have been? Would you be working with Martha, or would you have been at my feet with Mary? And I just had to answer honestly before the Lord. I knew exactly where I would have been working with Martha. And just in this moment just came this profound invitation to me from the Lord. Just come sit at my feet. Just come and wait. Just come and allow me to fill your life and receive fresh oil and receive something from the Lord that I could absolutely never obtain in my own strength. I can't ever get it in my own strength. And that is a pattern that I try and live to this day with varying degrees of success, if I'm honest. But sometimes I just scream at myself. Does anyone else ever have internal wars? Like, Chrissy, stop, stop. Sweetheart, wait and be filled. Wait and be filled. Don't attempt to do all these things for him before you receive something from him. Come and get fresh oil, amen. I believe it's actually a key for us to burning brightly. It's a key for us to actually walking in purpose, fulfilling the purpose of the Lord. A key for the miraculous is allow the Lord to fill us over and over again. If we do the waiting, his Spirit will do the filling. We just need to come and wait. The Scripture says his Spirit is given without limit. No limitation, no end. You know, if you need a lot, he's got a lot. You know, no end to what the Spirit is prepared to pour out. His side of the equation is not in question. The problem more is, can he find vessels on earth who would habitually wait to be filled? Amen? Wait to be filled. And the final lesson from the lampstand. Every day, be filled, but also be trimmed. Be trimmed. Another part of the daily duties of the priest when it came to the lampstand, they would trim the wick. If the lamp ran out of oil, the flame would burn out. But if the wick wasn't trimmed, the flame would smoke out. If the wick wasn't trimmed, residue and soot would build up around that thing, and the flame would cease to burn with clarity and brightness. Instead, it would become dull and smoky. Is that not a picture of our lives? Perhaps you've had a time in your life where you know that the flame of your love for God was burning so hot, so clear, so bright, but then stuff happens. The residue and the soot of our lives can build up around us. You know, maybe it's disappointments. Maybe it's just exhaustion. Maybe it's offenses. Maybe it's condemnation. Maybe it's accusation, whatever those sorts of things. And suddenly that flame in us that burns so brightly, burns so clear, goes dull, goes dim, so that what was alive inside of you gets smoked out, gets choked out by whatever the issues of life might be. And there's this thing about encounter that positions us not only to be filled, but to also be trimmed. As I was preparing this message, I felt the Lord so heavily on this part of the message for some of you, for many of you. I believe in this time of encounter, it's a season of trimming. If you would actually come, if you would actually wait and be filled with the Lord, He also wants to trim your life, cut things off your life that aren't very good for you, that aren't really doing you any good. He wants to deal with offenses in this season. I heard it really clearly. He wants to deal with offenses that have built up in your heart, bitter roots. He wants to pull them out. He wants to come and heal wounds in your heart in this season. Some of you have accumulated mindsets and attitudes. There's no condemnation. It's just through the grind of life. But those things, nonetheless, are not pleasing to the Lord. And He wants to trim them off. He wants to, you know, actually cut them off your life. You know, starting tomorrow, as we heard in the update, you know, we're calling 3 weeks of prayer and fasting. And fasting is such an incredible tool for trimming. I'm not just talking your waistline, although that's great too. But it is fasting for trimming. What's the Lord asking you to give up? What's the Lord asking you to cut off? You know, what food, what alcohol, what app, what habit, what distraction, maybe that thing that you know. It causes the flame of your love for God, your passion for purpose, to go a little bit dull in your life. It might be permissible, but it's not really beneficial. It does nothing to help you burn brightly. I know exactly what those things are in my life, but starting tomorrow morning, gone, you know. And I'm inviting you, come with us, come with me, come for your life, for you to burn brightly. Would you commit to prayer and fasting? Would you commit to actually presenting yourself before the Lord? Let Him fill you, let Him trim you. Why? So that the flame of your love for Him goes hotter, so that you burn more brightly. I think that when we think cut, we think pain. Am I right? And, you know, sure, it's probably true. But I think this, I think when God thinks cut, He thinks increase. John chapter 15, Jesus says this. He says, I'm the vine, you're the branches. You abide in me, and I abide in you. And in that place of close and intimate relationship, you and the Father in you, He comes to the fruitful branch He prunes. Why? So that it'll be more fruitful. When God thinks cut, He thinks increase. The trimming of your Father can be trusted. I say it again. The trimming of your Father can be trusted. He sees you running faster as you throw off the weights and the sins that so easily ensnare you. He sees you being more fruitful as the Father comes and prunes your life. You know, He sees you burning brighter as He comes and He gets rid of the residue. He gets rid of the soot of the things that you've been through and the real things of life. He sees more clarity coming back to you as you encounter Him. That's what He wants to do in us. That's what this season is about. as we present ourselves for fresh encounter. He wants to fill us. He wants to cause that flame within us to burn brightly for him. Amen. The singers and musos can come back and join me. Unapologetically, we are about encountering Jesus. We're making room for God to do it in our hearts, in this house, in the church, that we might be his burning ones, that we might be a company of people that are burning brightly and taking up our mission to shine Jesus into the dark places in this world. Amen. We'll be positioned to see him do so much more, to do what he wants to do in us and through us. Amen.
Thanks for listening to the Nations Church podcast. For more info, please visit nationschurch.com.